solid night. There's no light. Just been not stop tripping like a hit man. No, my man. Then I drop the dynamite. Solid night. There's no light. Just been not stop tripping like a hit man. No, my man. Then I drop the dynamite.
When I was fucked up on the block, selling rock for rock. Man, I had to get my hustle tight. I couldn't be born a knock. Trying to lock me up a pity shit. I let the slug release. Gotta make my pockets roll. Even though a nigga gotta shoot at them hoes. Look at here, here come all junkie with that big and click. Stomp that cone and bitch, just in case he run off with your shit. Trick, hit the switch, hoop the creep, muffler dragging on the street.
Welcome back to episode 3 of this season of the VMP Anthology Podcast. I'm your host, Andrew Winnestorfer, bringing you the story of Memphis rap alongside Tori McAdams, who did all the interviews for this podcast. I'm just your intrepid host for this season. On this episode, Tori sits down with Little Jin, who is a member of the Gimme Some family alongside Skinny Pimp, who grew up in the Hurt Village Projects in Memphis, which is a notorious neighborhood in Memphis. And you hear a bunch of stories about what it was like to basically be a kid who was forced to grow up way too fast, but who ended up in a rap career thanks to knowing Carmike and Skinny Pimp. This is a really enlightening interview. Getting to put these interviews out is such a cool part of this project, and I'm glad that you're getting to hear it now. So without further ado, here's Tori and Lil Jin.
Now it's the pimp and pimp hanging in the hood where they rag clean, stanging like a bumblebee with my 45 GLOTK. Hey, make me click quick, don't make a move trick. Hammer things with a go clean, big pounder, 12 whooper scream, window shake, nervo juice on the crust.
So on the first tape, how old were you?
On the first tape that I did?
Yeah.
I was 12.
Damn.
Yeah, I was 12. But I was rapping before Skinny. I used to be called Kid E. I used to be getting into little talent shows and stuff like that. And then I met Skinny, and that's how I came Lil Jin.
What made you want to start rapping?
What made me want to start rapping?
Start rapping, yeah.
I always wanted to be one. Then plus my daddy was a DJ and my granddaddy was a blues singer, so music always been in my
family. About your grandfather.
Yeah. And my dad was a DJ.
Where did he DJ?
My dad used to be on he was going to school to be a DJ. He was already a DJ. He used to have some things on I think it was 101 or 97, one of K97 or 101.
What was his DJ name?
Doc.
Just DOC? Like Doc?
Yeah, DOC. He got killed when I was like 8.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
What kind of music did he DJ?
All kinds. Whatever was popular back then. All of rhythm and blues and, you know, as we call it, pimping.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Curtis Mayfield and Marvin Gaye and all that. He had all the records.
You have a lot of memories of him or no?
Not really. I mean, I was 8.
Yeah.
When he got killed. I'm 42 years old, man.
You have siblings?
Brothers and sisters, yeah. On my mother's side. On my daddy's side, I got a sister. A little sister.
The grandfather is a blues musician. It's Joe
Hill Lewis.
Yeah, Joe Hill Lewis. That's your mom's side or your dad's side?
My dad's side.
Okay. Did you grow up knowing him?
No, he died before I was born.
Okay.
He stepped on a nail on something and
got infected?
Yeah, and I believe that was before technic shots, and he caught infection, and yeah, he died.
Oh my God.
I think that was in the 50s. Something like that. Yeah.
Did your mom approve of you making music?
Yeah. She the one had to sign off on me when I first signed with Selecto and did Blocking My Shine. She had to sign off on it because I wasn't old enough.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She died when I was 20.
Damn.
Yeah. Yeah.
Were you raised with a stepfather or just single mom?
I was raised with my grandmother, my dad's mom.
Okay.
Because my dad took care of me when I was born. I went straight to him.
Wow.
My mom was young when she had me. She had me when she was 14, and I was her second child. So my dad came and took me over there with his mama and his grandmama in Hurt Village.
Wow. What was Hurt Village like when you were a kid?
Home. It was a project, though. A whole bunch of people. Just a whole bunch of people. Big project. It was fun. It was all right. I didn't jump out the porch till I was about 8. After he died, then I jumped out the porch. I was still in kiddie land. Until then.
I mean, 8 is still very young.
Mm-hmm. You learn very fast in the project, though.
What music were you listening to at that time? Or, like, what year were you born, I guess, so I can, like, figure out, like, the timeline?
I was born in 79.
So tape came out 91 when you were 12.
91, 92. Yeah.
What were you... Were you listening to, like, Spanish Fly tapes?
Yep. I was in... back then, I was in... Before, I was listening to Memphis shit. I used to listen to, like, out-of-town shit, like Vanilla Ice and MC Hammer and Run DMC and... You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Shit like that. N.W.A., Scarface, the Ghetto Boys. You know what I'm saying? B is My Key, all it. But, yeah, I used to listen to Spanish Fly. Him and... Scarface, Al Capone, and Skinny. I fell in love with Skinny music, though. Because he was from where I was from.
Mm-hmm.
I could go right around the corner and see him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Damn. Yeah.
He was people already knew who he was in Hurt Village when he was 19.
Yeah.
Were you going to, like, Mr. Z's and Car Toys and stuff and buying tapes?
Nah, I was getting mixes from folks that were staying in Hurt Village, like the original tape. I wasn't going to Mr. Z's and stuff like that. I didn't have to. Everybody was bumping it. So I just get a tape from one of them until I met Skinny. I met Skinny, at a little store used to be called Maxine's, and they used to have little games in there, like arcade games in there, mm-hmm. and everybody from around the hood used to be in there playing, and one time me and him was in there playing together, and that's how I ended up talking to him and meeting him.
Is that when we still have the Jerry Curl?
Yeah. I had one too. Yep.
I guess, yeah, I mean, that was the style. It was.
Yeah, it was. The Juicy Curl.
Yeah, I've seen some photos from back then.
Mm-hmm.
Skinny Pimp told me Zerk ran up on him in a mall, and Skinny was wearing, like, some boots, so he couldn't get any grip, and he was just sliding all over the place and shit.
Yeah, I bet he told me that. I ain't never seen none of they beefs or nothing like that. That's a little bit before me. But, yeah, I done heard stories about all that.
Who else rap from Hurt Village?
Who else raps from Hurt Village?
Yeah.
As far as I know, it's just me, Skinny, and 211.
211's locked up, right?
Yeah, two locked up. But as far as I can think of this, all that comes from Hurt Village. It's probably somebody else I just can't think of. But just primary, me, Skinny, and 211.
What was the first tape you made?
The first tape that was mine or the first tape I was on?
I guess first tape you were on.
The first tape I was on, I believe it was called... I don't know. I can't remember the name of the tape, but I can remember the name of the song. It was called... You Better Ask Somebody. With me, Skinny. And it's me, Skinny, and 211 on it. Yeah, and DJ Powell made the beat.
You were Jin by that time. You were Jin by that time?
Skinny named me Jin.
Yeah, why'd he give you the name Lil Jin?
It was supposed to be Jin and Juice. At that time, Lady B Daughter was supposed to be Juice, but she couldn't. She couldn't keep up, so it just was Jin, Lil Jin. But it's supposed to have been Jin and Juice. on that same song, that first song that I was on. She on that song when she like let Lil Jen shoot him. If you listen to the song, you'll hear her on that jump. That's the only thing she ever said though. So it became Lil Jen, just Lil Jen.
And then what was your first tape proper as like a solo artist?
It was called Junts We Choke.
That's what I thought. That's just like an EP, right?
Yeah.
It's like four songs.
Yep, then it was Junts We Choke 2. And then it was The Serpent Steps On. Other as people know as Shake Junt.
That's what I learned.
It ain't called Shake Junt. That's just the name of one of the songs that was on it. It's actually called The Serpent Steps On.
I never knew that until like it got reissued on vinyl.
Yeah. Produced by Paul and Juice.
What did you name the tape?
No. Skinny named it. Or Paul, one of them. One of them came up with the name. I can't remember. The Serpent Steps On. Because, you know, we were in a little 3-6, give me some era. So it was like, you know what I'm talking
devilish.
About?
Yeah,
a little. But not in devil way.
Right.
The Serpent Steps On, yeah.
You were writing your own rhymes and shit, right?
Some of them.
You were writing with, like, Skinny, Juicy, all those guys?
Mm-hmm.
What was... You did tapes after Serpent Steps On, right?
Yeah. I came out with... I was featuring on a lot of stuff, like a bunch of Skinny stuff, and then I came out with The Professional.
That came out in 2006?
Mm-hmm. No, it came out earlier than that.
Oh, no.
It came out like in 2000 and... No, I take that back. After The Serpent Steps On, then came Blocking My Shine.
Right, that was like 2000?
Yeah, that was like 99, 2000.
What year was Serpent Steps On?
Like 94, 95, something like that.
So you went like 5 years between...
Yeah. But I was featuring on a whole bunch of other Give Me Some, you know, projects like Give Me Some Family, The Other Side of the Family.
Mm-hmm.
Basically everything that came out under Give Me Some, I was on it.
Right.
So, you know, then it's other members of us, so their projects had to come out, like Hot Mike, you know what I'm saying, 211, Skinny, you know.
Did you still feel like you were, like, anxious to have another album out, or, like...
I mean, I was rolling with the flow. It really, you know, I was good. I was all right.
So, 2000, you would have been 21.
Mm-hmm.
Did you finish high school?
I made it to the 12th. I didn't graduate.
You ever get your GED?
No.
What were you like in school?
Bad as hell. My bad as a motherfucker. The fucking principal couldn't stand my ass. I got kicked out of all Memphis City schools before and everything. And then ended up had to go right back to the school. Got caught at school with guns and shit. I was bad as fuck. I mean, for real.
Was that because you weren't supervised basically at home, or? You were just like.
Well, when I jumped off the porch, it was really over. When I was 8, it was really over with then. Because I, you know. Shit went no better. The streets raised me, so, you know what I'm saying? I was doing most shit that most kids my age were doing. Like, when I was 12 years old, I was getting into Shake Junt. You know what I'm talking about? Getting in strip clubs and drinking and everything.
Really?
When I was 13 running a club. Yeah, Skinny had a club called High Rise, and I used to be in there running it as a 13-year-old. Like, for real. Nah, me and, you heard Juicy say about something about dude D-Magic. My nigga D-Magic.
Yeah.
Okay, me and D-Magic was in there. D-Magic was the dude that, he used to be behind the bar selling all the beer and, you know, shit like that. But I was the one getting all the money and all it. For real. That's you can ask Skid it is.
That's fucking crazy.
Yeah. It was Skid Club. He used to have me running the club when I was 13 years old.
Did you think, like, that was weird, you were just like, all right, like, this is what I'm doing today?
Well, when I was young, I feel like I was grown in a goddamn way. If you call me young when I was young, I kind of get upset. It'll be, you know, I ain't like to be called young, even though I actually was.
13. Damn.
13. In the strip clubs. All of them, not just one, all of them. every one of them in Memphis. I'm talking about drinking, smoking, all that. No problem. I don't think it's never been nobody else like me that did that.
No. Not that I know of it. Not that I've heard of.
Not that I know of, neither. Yeah, I done.
Did you feel, like, burned out on that shit by the time you were, like, 21, 22?
No, nah, not really. It was fun to me. I mean, having fun. Who didn't want to win, want to go in a, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to Shay Jean de ass. It used to be bigger than my lap. Like, for real. When I'm sitting on me, cover me up. You don't see nothing but my head come outside. Shit. A little shit.
Mm-hmm. Were you hustling when you were a teenager, too?
Yeah. I started selling weed when I was, like, 11. And before I met Skinny, I was selling weed already. I got robbed when I was 13. No, I was, like, 12. I like 12, 11 or 12 when I first got robbed for $2.
Like robbed, like gun in your face robbed?
Yeah, they hit me in my face with the pistol and everything. One of my other little dudes I knew had came and set me up and told me, man, somebody wants some weed around the corner. And I was a kid, so I come out the door with just some shorts and a shirt on and some house shoes, you hear me? Mm-hmm. So when we get around there to the street, the dude, like, he can't remember where the house was. Two dudes come out dressed like ninjas, chased us and shit, so I ran to the, you know, in my going to my apartment complex, and they jumped out on me and robbed me for $2. But I had the weed and the money in my underwear. So they only took, I had $2 in my pocket, so they took the money that was in my pocket and thought that was it. Yeah, I put that shit in a wrap. That shit crazy.
You got pistol whip for $2.
Man, smacked me across the face with the pistol and everything, and went in my pocket and took $2. I had like $400 and some and some weed in my drawers. And I ain't have on no shirt or no socks, so I don't know what they thought. They didn't even find the weed. If they so dumb. I mean, like, I'm coming to sell somebody some weed. Where the weed at? They so dumb, they ain't even think to, like, you know what I'm saying? I really ain't got on no, it was just stupid. So I laughed at it. I caught the little dude that set me up the next day and bust his nose and pulled out two pistols.
This episode of the Memphis Rap Anthology Podcast is brought to you by the VMP Discord server. Looking for a place to interact with other VMP members and with VMP staffers? Want to stay up to date with what's happening in the store and in Record of the Month? Want to debate about which Essentials release is the best ever? Head to the VMP Discord. Anyone can sign up at discord.gg/vinylmeplease. Every quarter, our staff does an AMA that's private to Discord members, and you can ask VMP whatever you'd like in real time. Sign up now at discord.gg/vinylmeplease. And now, back to the show.
Me and my niggas kicking shit. We're smoking some bud with some fine bitches riding with the clip. We're up in the park, system in my pimpin's pushing watts, drinking, bumping huts, late night times up on my watch, blazing the onion, microwave blunts, that's what we cheat. We're hooked on the natural leaf, niggas watching me like they got some beef.
How old were you when you went to jail or prison? I guess.
For which one? I've been going since juvenile. From juvenile to 201, to juvenile to city jail to county penitentiary. I done been to them all, except the penitentiary. I ain't been there. Don't want to go. But yeah, everywhere else. I started going to juvenile when I said about 14. In her village in the projects, right, with some of the little homies, we going go steal a car. It was a cab. You hear me? We went and we were just young and dumb. We just stole a cab.
Oh my God.
And then so dumb, went to Taco Bell in it. And got pulled over. The folks were chasing us and shit. Her helicopters. All it. That was when I was 14, first went to juvenile.
How many stints have you done as an adult?
How many what?
How many stints in jail have you done as an adult?
I done been quiet. Put it like this, when I go in there, They knew my name when I came in there. I had been a lot. I ain't been to jail now in about 10 years.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I interviewed Carmike the last time I was in town.
Mm-hmm.
And he said the last time he was locked up, I guess he did a like super long bid. It was like 20 years.
All together, yep.
And then he did, well, then he got out, right? And then he did another like 5 or 6 year bid, right?
He did like 15 and got out and went back and did another 5 or 6 bid. That's how it all came to 20.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But yeah, he told me like this in that second bid, he realized he was just like getting too old to be doing this shit. And like, you know, at a certain point, like he saw the older guys in prison. I don't want to be that guy, you know.
Yeah, I might change a lot. He was real wild. Hey, but that's crazy.
He told me some fucking stories that are that outrageous.
Is, he was crazy little motherfucker. Yup. My nigga.
I heard, was it you that called him Capable Mike?
Skinny called him Carpenter Mike.
Carpenter Mike.
Because that's what he be doing now. He be doing like, you know, fixing houses and stuff like, you know, contract and stuff like that. They call him Carpenter Mike.
What's the longest bid you did?
Probably about 10 months. 10 and a half months at one time. But I done those type of, that type of time a lot of times, like 7-8 times.
Shit. So between like 18 and 32, you spent probably 7 or 8 years inside?
18 to 32, I spent... Shit, 18 to 32. Yeah, probably about 6-7 years. Yeah.
How'd you pass the time inside?
Lift weights, eat. Well, not weights. Just, you know, do push-ups, lift water bags, because I ain't have no weights over there where we were at.
Is it like California where the prisons don't have weight sets here?
Don't have what?
California, they got rid of the weight sets. So is that like, is it the same here?
I can't never recall it ever being no weight sets here. Huh. Like out there in the penitentiary, they probably be in a penitentiary or something like that, but out like in a penitentiary, they don't be having it. Motherfuckers lift tables and bunk beds and shit.
Yeah.
With people still on the motherfuckers and shit.
Yeah, a lot of push ups, a lot of squats.
And a lot of lifting shit. Cause the tables used to be iron metal, you know what I'm talking about, man. Them folks be lifting them, but the table be like 300 pounds. Folks be up there lifting them jumps. Sometimes nigga be too super strong. He tell nigga, get on the table. You hear me? About 5 nigga get on the table. That nigga still up there lifting this motherfucker like this. For real, look, get on the bunk bed. Have 2 niggas on the bunk bed. He be under the bunk bed, lift the whole bunk bed up. The bunk bed iron, you hear me? It's 300 pounds by itself.
Do you have any regrets about that period of your life?
Yeah, I wish I wouldn't have done that shit. Got caught anyway. Yeah, it took a lot out of me because I was in jail when my grandmama died, the one I was taking care of. I got out on her birthday, and I didn't know she was dead until...
Fuck.
I think it was a Wednesday, and it was Sunday. I found out like a couple of days before I got out. She had already been gone like 2 weeks. And I didn't even know.
That's terrible.
Yeah, it was. Very bad feeling.
Ideally, like, how does your career look going forward? How do you want it to play out?
I want it to play out is the same way I hoped it'd begin. Great. Even better. I want to have a legacy in it. As being known as one of the first in Memphis as a young dude to bring this craft out.
Is it weird for you that the stuff people know of you best is like you as a little kid?
It's kind of weird. It's all right, though. Because I was doing things that a whole bunch of little kids wasn't doing. So if that's where I began as being known as, that's the first time you know me as being young, which I was. So it's cool. I just be wanting people to keep up with me now that I'm older.
Definitely.
And I got more music besides the older stuff.
Got the ribs in the crib, 10 cases of that cold beer. Rolling in my drop thing, switching to that gold thing. Car wash bound, get the fame. People stirring, cause
10 sinker edge, chopping up the Philly blunts, choking off the skunk as the 12s bump in my trunk. Everything is cool like this brute that I'm cuffing. I'm taking me a break, even though the track jumping.
This season of the VMP Anthology podcast is hosted and executive produced by Andrew Innestorfer. All interviews were conducted by Tori McAdams, who is a producer on this box and wrote the listening notes booklet as well. This season is produced and edited by Sydney Berlinger. A special thanks to Tori for doing the interviews and for all of our guests for sitting for them. And a special thanks to our friends over at Now Again Records for spearheading this box and for partnering with us on it. And before we go, a reminder, listen to more Little Gin.